So you find these children at shrines in India, Pakistan, in Bangladesh, in that part of the world. Beggary exists in that part of the world. And there is all the corruption. And the thing that's most disturbing for me is not just that the children are disfigured and maimed and mutilated, but in many cases, religion is distorted to justify these things.
Okay, let me try to understand the religion part. Are they... does somebody believe, do the people doing the disfiguring believe that by disfiguring the children that somehow honors God?
No.
No.
Okay. That's not quite correct.
All right. Yeah, help me.
The religious aspect of this thing is people go to shrines to ask for things from the saints that are buried in the shrines. And in some cases, children are left there by their parents. So I'll give you a very specific example. So there are shrines where families where women are barren, they're not having children, they go and pray to have children.
Okay.
The condition is that the buried saint who's not dead will grant their wish through God, and the couple then will have children. The condition is that your firstborn has to be left at the shrine.
Oh.
You have to donate your firstborn to the shrine. Then those children are disfigured and used to go in the cities and beg for money.
Oh.
Okay, so the child is left at the shrine dead? Do they kill the child first? Or?
No, alive. The child is alive and well.
And do they ever come back for the child, or are they just, they abandon them?
No, that's the price of having more children.
Okay, so you literally are leaving a child to starve to death in a shrine.
Not to starve to death. No, not to starve to death.
Okay, I'm confused here. What happens to the child after they leave?
The shrine basically takes over the child and, quote-unquote, takes care of the child.
Okay.
But they disfigure the child to be the beggar so they can make money.
Yeah, there is that aspect, and then in other places, children are just abducted from the streets. Young children are abducted, and they would be then disfigured, maimed, just deformed somehow so that they could go begging.
Okay.
And the idea behind that is that the more disfigured, the more pity one a child or a person, woman, man, will invoke, the more money they will they will get.
What is the nature of the disfigurement? Are they... I don't even want to start to ask, but what if you could tell us, what are they doing? Are they cutting them? Are they... I don't know. What?
Well, so multiple things. The premise of my novel, The Red Boys of Karlabad, is the fact that children are taken and their heads are then bound tightly with leather or metal caps. As a child grows, the head does not grow. The rest of the body grows.
Oh.
So you essentially have a child, a teenager, or even as they grow older, men, whose heads are very small, and their features then start resembling that of a rat, hence Red Boy.
Oh.
So that's just one form. There are other forms where, arms are broken, or... I don't know if you recall, you saw the movie The Slumdog Millionaire.
Yes.
A few years ago.
Yeah, we saw that.
In which there was a scene where they were pouring molten lead in an eye, for example.
Right, yeah. I did see that movie.
To burn the eye out. So it's whatever form of disfigurement can be done to create more sympathy for that child when they are begging for money.
So the child goes out and begs, and then what, hands the money over to somebody?
Yeah. In most cases, the beggars don't keep the money. They just essentially get a place to live and some food, but all of the money goes to the organization behind this.
And the parents...
And it's,
the parents of the child are not in the picture because they left them at a shrine.
That is correct. That's in that case. In the case where children are abducted, which is more the storyline in my book... the child just gets abducted off the streets. And, you know, there's thousands of abductions that happen every year. And most of them end up in these organized begging groups.
And religion plays such a powerful role in their day-to-day lives that when the parents pray for a child and then the woman becomes pregnant, of course they'll feel grateful and then they'll follow the rules. And so then they feel she can become pregnant again, so she leaves this child at the shrine and then that child is taken away to be the beggar.
Yeah, and that's, and that, you're absolutely right, Robin.
And that's the
well, yeah, it's lack of education, it's lack of understanding, it's blind faith. But on the other side, this is also this thing that I try to describe in my novel. This is really a distortion of religion, because this is not religion. I mean, it's not any religion would condone that, would support that. So this is when religion gets some sort of organization, men get involved, and it becomes a question of power and money, and you know, it just gets distorted into these aberrations that have nothing to do with any religion.
Oh wow! I went online, by the way, and I'm looking at a picture of somebody who is labeled as a rat child, but it looks like an adult. I'm not sure if it's a woman or not, but I see the tiny little head you're talking about. That is crazy. Yeah. So what happens when they get to be adults? Are they disposed of? Are they killed? What happens to them?
Well, no, actually, they continue their jobs. But the sad thing is, of course, because of the deformations, they usually don't have a very long life.
So are they, does the binding of the head cause their brain to not develop? Are they mentally handicapped because of that?
Yes.
Okay.
That is also the case.
So their behavior is not as it would have been if they had grown normally?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Look at this picture of this.
Not at all.
A man sitting there with
them. And so if you're on the streets, for example, and you run into, generally beggars are also generally a little bit aggressive, then their job is to get money.
Do you know,
and if you think of,
We human beings are abusing children in unbelievable ways. I mean, we hear sexual abuse, and now we're hearing about this disfigurement abuse and
human trafficking.
You know, I'm not a religious expert, but if God is going to do anything, he's going to do something to those people. I don't know that for a fact. What do I know? But my goodness. So you as a writer, the pen is mightier than the sword, not to quote a cliche, but maybe your novel will actually raise awareness of this and perhaps put an end to it, or at least cut back on it somewhat. What I started to say when I was talking about abuse of children, I was trying to point out that it's not only in Pakistan, maybe this problem is, but we as a people, we're hurting children all the time. It's crazy. So, but is this particular problem, the rat boy problem, is it exclusively limited to Pakistan?
Well, it's Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, you know, it's that part of the world. But you're absolutely right. I think that this is just one I used in the book. I used the rat boy as a symbol of the abuse of children that is being perpetrated in the name of religion.
Right.
Or just money and power. But you're right. The abuse of children across the world by human beings is just, it's abhorrent. You talked about sexual abuse in the Catholic Church here. You know, Robin mentioned the child trafficking. UN Day was yesterday, and part of it also was about the abuse of children and how to stop that. Earlier this month, there was another event at the UN about where the focus was underage marrying of girls. So there is all these things that happen, that are happening to children, and it's being done everywhere.
So
you take a minute.
When that happens, and we have high profile people, celebrities, let's say, who jump on this, and so we all pay attention because somebody who's famous is saying, this is a problem, we need to do something about it. Is this happening in Pakistan? Are there celebrities in that part of the world that maybe I wouldn't know, be familiar with, but maybe those people admire and respect? And are they getting onto their TV and into their media and saying, look, we've got a big problem here, we got to stop it?
Yes, there are people that are doing that, and that's a good thing. Especially, you would see that the younger generation that gets famous, either through entertainment or writing or any other means, they are creating a lot of non-government organizations. So, one of the ways to combat this is education. So there's a lot of organizations that are present in Pakistan and in India that that focus on building schools, on getting children educated.
Right.
Now, if you take a step back and you think about this, the reason that children get abducted or people send out their kids to beg or to work is because there is no other source of income, and therefore they cannot get education. So this is just a very vicious cycle that continues. And the people there in Pakistan and India are trying to break that cycle, some people, by helping families to send their kids to study. And that is making a difference.
Yeah, that would.
There's a lot more that needs to be done.
And we were provided with a quote that you had said in reference to the school bus shooting of the young girl because of religion, because the men in that particular religious sect in the Muslim community did not want her to go to school to be educated, so they tried to kill her.
Yeah, that's the story of Malala Yousafzai, and she is now, rightly so, she's very, very courageous. She has done, she has brought light to something that is not very good. But yeah, that's another example. And all she wants to do is study. And that also, again, it's not an issue with religion. There's no religion actually in Islam. It says actually that, you know, you should go to China if you have to study, if you have to gain knowledge, and that's from, you know, 1,200, 1,400 years ago. But the idea there is that get knowledge wherever you need to get knowledge from. And here you have people that are killing young children because they want to study.
Just a quick question about you as a writer. In writing this story, I understand the underlying reason, which is to educate the rest of the world about what's going on, and I appreciate what you're doing too, because I think when we learn about things, we jump on board and try to stop them, and we maybe will never stop 100%, but maybe we, you know, if you can save one child, that's something. But in the writing process, in writing a story around this terrible act of abuse upon the children, were you able to create a story that takes the reader, I'm trying to think, to a happy end? I mean, is there a child who gets saved in the end? And how do you actually save somebody who's been disfigured for life? How do you actually save that person?
Yeah,
I mean, look, if something has already happened, then it's very difficult to reverse that. Actually, it's not possible to reverse that.
Yeah.
The thing to be done is to somehow stop the people that are doing this. Somehow put an end to that, to expose those people.
They're the ones who need to be educated.
And
well, yes. Educated, I'm not sure if I quite agree with you there, Larry, because, you know, these are grown people and their motives are different.
Well,
their
then the parents... Okay.
Power and money.
Okay, so I'll correct what I said then and put it on the parents. The parents who somehow believe that God is going to bless them because they leave their... the blessing is right there. That child is your blessing. Mm-hmm. And you're giving up your blessing so that you can get another one. That doesn't even make sense.
You're right. That is... So the thing that we fully agree on there is that there's an educational aspect of it, and knowledge. And you're right. The parents need education. They need to really understand what the religion is about. It's not about, you know, asking God for something through a saint. First of all, you can talk to God directly.
Right.
And secondly, it's not a question of, you know, God does not do these bargains. I mean, that's what my belief is. I will get this.
I agree with that.
It's not
too.
A bargaining. It's not a negotiation.
And also, when the tourists come over, and you know. When they see the people that, that look like this, they do automatically feel sorry for them, but those tourists have to be educated.
Thousands of styles, millions of costumes, adults and kids from just $9.99, plus outrageous accessories and decorations. Don't just be a costume, be a character. Party City and PartyCity.com. Nobody has more Halloween for less.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey.
Is that a rocket launcher?
Yeah.
Real scary. Hey, Bob, you see Kyle's new rocket launcher?
Yeah.
Scary.
Get better gear quicker. Do more damage sooner. Get a weekend of double XP when you pre-order Battlefield 4 from GameStop. Power to the players. Bring them for sure.
Needed. That when they see them, that the money is not going to them, it's going to somebody else. And if all of a sudden the donations stop, maybe part of that practice will stop also. Or do you think that's not possible?
No, actually, you make a very, very valid point, Robin. Actually, there was an article just this week in the newspaper where this was the main point, that even as painful as it may be, because when you see a small child malnourished, you know, in tatters, you know, their hair, you know, mud and dirt and grass in their hair, you feel sorry and you want to help them.
Yes.
But that's the one of, that's not going to really help that child.
No.
So the point of that article was that you really should, as painful as it may be, it's best not to give money. And, you know, the thing with the Rad Boys is that, and you see that if you have actually seen one in person, there is a fear, you feel sorry for them, but you also, there is a sense of fear and revulsion because it's such an anomaly. And you just want them to go away as soon as possible.
Yeah. And we did find a few pictures online when we looked on the Google search. Zulfikar Rashid is our guest. His book is called The Rat Boys of Karalabad. It's a novel, but it does bring awareness to the organized begging industry and child exploitation. And it sounds like, to conclude our interview, not just in Pakistan, but across the world. I mean, there's so many different things that are happening to children, and I think we're agreeing that education is one way, and I guess we have to figure out who needs to be educated and how we're going to do this, but I think the starting point is talking about it, and that's what the book is going to do. Do you have a website?
Yes, my website is www.zulfikarrashid.com.
Okay.
And you can find more information on those
things. And for the listeners who probably are driving and unable to write that down, let alone understand how to spell that, if you go to WOCA.com, Robin made it real easy. She put your name and your website on our guest list for today. So for the listeners, if you'd like that, two things. First of all, you can call us. We'll just tell you over the phone. Or if you go to WOCA.com, click on AM Ocala Live. That's the link with the photo of the two of us here. It'll take you to a page, and on that page is a guest list. Go to the guest list, look at the date, October 25th, and you'll see Zulfikar Rashid's name at the 9:35 slot, and the website is right there, and it's a link. Well, thank you for enlightening us to this terrible practice, and I think you're making more good. You're doing a lot of good with the book, probably more than any other novel you could have written.
Thank you very much. That was intent to bring light to this to these practices.
Yeah.
Try to stop them.
Yeah, good for you. Well, there's a blessing in store for you. That's my religion. I believe if you help other people, God will bless you. Zulfikar, thank you so much for being on with us. It was a pleasure getting to know you.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Robin.
We'll take a little break. Be right back.
You're listening to WOCA News Talk 1370, Ocala's source for what's happening in today's hottest, up-to-date news and topics.
How good does it get?
Golf has long been considered to be sport's most prestigious game, and WOCA has your connection to everything in the golf world. first and third Thursday at 10 a.m. Tune in for Let's Talk Golf.
Done.